I'm just going to read some Christianity trash here. What? Some Christianity shit posting on my Facebook wall. Can you hear me? All right, here's my sound check. I want to say something about the spirituality debate. You don't believe in God, that's okay. But why is it so important for many of us who mock that you mock those of us that who do? This is so poorly worded. If we're wrong, what have we lost when we die? Nothing. How does our faith in Jesus Christ bring you any harm? You think it makes me stupid, gullible, ignorant? Yes, that's okay too. How does that affect you? If you're wrong, your consequence is far worse. I would rather live my life believing in God and serving him and find out I was right than not believing in him and not serve him and find out I was wrong. You realize this is Pascal's wager?
Then yeah, that's exactly what Pascal's wager is.
Then it's too late. Ain't no shame in my game. I believe in Jesus
Ain't
Christ.
No shame in my game? What a good line. Turn.
He said, I didn't read the whole thing before I started reading it.
What a good
he
line.
He said, deny me in front of your friends and I will deny you in front of my father.
And what?
On my mic.
That's not what he said. That's not real. I'm willing to do this. How about you?
Sounds about right. Sounds like something to be in the Bible.
It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. I'm aware of and acknowledge my imperfections, including your punctuation. I need him all the time. Thank God for grace, forgiveness, mercy, and love. 100% God is great all the time.
Oh, my God.
In my shouting voice, hallelujah, amen.
Is this all caps?
This was all caps.
Oh, of course it was. Is this a boomer? Jesus Christ.
Copy and paste if you're not ashamed. Don't ride and decide.
What?
Wait, what was that?
Don't ride and decide?
I don't know what that means.
That doesn't make sense.
That wasn't in the Bible.
No.
I don't believe that was in the Bible.
It wasn't in the Bible.
Jesus famously said, let it ride. Like,
Jesus. He was a ride or die type of guy.
He was a ride or die type of guy. Yeah.
Jay has a hatred for religious people as only someone who was previously super religious could possibly have. Yeah. No, not even a Catholic, because I was a Catholic.
Yeah, that's true. Like
but
religious.
Jay was in.
I was deep.
And now he's just got a burning hatred for everyone who believes in anything religious.
I don't know if I necessarily hate people who are religious.
Oh, we're coming out real spicy on this.
You were kind of mean to that guy. All he was doing was expressing his love for his religion and like why you got to be picking on him, and you sat here picking on him.
Because you shitposted.
That's it like wasn't a shitpost. What was shitty about it? All he said was, hey, leave me alone. Why do you have to pick on us for being religious? And because you proceeded to pick on him for being religious and poor grammar.
Well, I think it's fine to pick on somebody for poor grammar. I think we can all agree on that.
Fine. Fair enough.
I'm not picking on anybody for being religious. I think.
I mean, you're laughing at his faith and the enthusiasm with which he expresses it.
Absolutely laughing at it. I think that it's fine. I'm making fun of them. I think it's
which is just funny because it's the exact thing he's like complaining about. Like, and you're like, yeah, well, fuck him.
Yeah, well, fuck you. You're dumb.
don't necessarily makes you dumb to believe in something, Jay.
No, it definitely doesn't.
Were you not here for the miracle on 34th Street? Oh, that's right. Yeah. He watched the wrong movies.
That's right. He didn't get the message.
I missed the message.
In God we trust, dude. In God we trust.
If you'd only watched the right movies,
God, that was fucking.
You never would have torn into that poor man. You'd understand.
Oh,
it's okay
definitely.
To believe, Jay. It's okay. He's not harming anybody.
No, he's not.
Not unless you believe in like prosperity gospel, then I have a problem with you.
Well, I mean, this person went to my church, and I know what this person believes in, and it's not. It's against body autonomy.
Oh, so this is.
Oh, well, that could fuck right.
Personal.
Off. Yeah, they could fuck right off. Yeah.
I mean, like. Not really. I never had a huge problem with the person.
Okay.
Until now.
I think that like the views that they espouse are pretty wretched when it comes to body autonomy.
That's
pro-life and things like that. I think that's more of my problem with.
We've talked about this. I mean, body autonomy is an interesting term for what you interpret to what his meaning is. I mean, I don't, as a person who's religious, I don't think he's out there trying to control women so much as he's concerned about something he thinks is an injustice to babies. So, I mean, as much as I disagree with him and I fall pro-choice on that side of the argument, I understand where he's coming from.
I can understand where he's coming from, but I completely disagree.
I completely disagree too.
Completely disagree. And it's like the gay man, like he's a.
But I think framing him as somebody who's against body autonomy is a little bit.
But that is.
That is.
But it's not. He's against, in his mind, he's against baby murder.
And gay marriage.
Which is
and transsexuals.
Abortion, which is body autonomy.
Well,
I mean, it's not.
Well, we're talking about abortions here, right?
Correct.
Well, no, but I'm bringing up other stuff that this person is.
But I don't. If you asked him, he wouldn't say I'm against body autonomy. He would say I'm against.
It's a deliberate reframing of us who are reframing pro-life as anti-body autonomy.
Yes.
Right.
That's us. Because we're calling a spade a fucking
spade. The reframing. Yeah. Well, he would disagree. He would say he's calling a spade a spade.
Okay.
Right? Am I wrong?
No, he would. You're right.
I mean, body autonomy is the reframing.
It is.
The killing of babies was the Christian church's argument against abortion from the beginning. So he has the original stance. The reframing is body autonomy.
Yeah, but it's based on a presupposition that is unjustifiable.
I just don't think it's fair to say somebody's against body autonomy when they say they're against baby murder. But that's
six of what I've done. It's the same thing.
What would it take? So, like, if this person was against gay marriage, thought that was should be made illegal, engaged, shouldn't be allowed to marry. If they were against,
well, then you're against gay marriage. I wouldn't reframe that in any way.
What is body autonomy to you?
Body autonomy is having control over your own body.
So, what about gender reassignment surgery?
If you're
anti that.
I mean, I don't know. Is he anti that?
Yes.
If you're over the age of 18, I think you should be able to do whatever you want with your body.
Yes.
Yep.
I agree 100%.
In that case, that would be anti-body autonomy. I agree with you there.
Okay.
We have a disagreement on the abortion thing, but I absolutely agree. If you, once you're of sound mind and body and you're 18 years old or over, you can do whatever you want. You can cut off your dick all day.
Absolutely.
That's fine. I mean, I wouldn't do it. But
nobody's making you do it.
Exactly. It's a free country. You can do whatever you like.
Yeah, you should be allowed to do whatever you want. I mean, we've had I do morally justify suicide. Like, it's your body.
Oh, yeah, me too. Again, if you're of sound mind and body and over a certain age, yes. I think you're, and I don't know if 18 is the right age either, by the way. I say 18 because that's the current kind of deadline. Yeah, I think it should be more like in your early 20s after you maybe 22, 23.
I think post-frontal cortex development.
Well, it doesn't happen until you're like mid-20s, 24, 25.
You definitely don't just start, that's what the studies show, like in general.
But for the sake of argument, I'm just going to keep saying 18 because that seems to be the cutoff that's drinking and joining the military. Well, it's not drinking anymore, but joining the military.
It should be drinking.
It should be 21 at the very least, I guess, if we're going to talk, joining the military, I don't think you should be able to do if you can't drink or.
I agree.
Well, I think cigarettes. The age needs to either be 18 for everything or
yeah, no, we have military. To have an age,
right?
Yeah.
You can't say you can volunteer and you can die at 18,
right?
And you can't drink a beer,
but you can't drink beer,
or
right.
buy a cigarette,
exactly.
Like yeah,
yeah, 100%.
That's ridiculous.
So, but regardless of what that age is, once you're over it, and but if you're going to commit suicide, I think you should have
a
mandatory counseling period of some kind.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just, walk in and be like, I'd like to commit suicide today. I've had a rough morning.
Please.
Sir, it's 10 a.m.
We've all had a rough morning. No, I would agree with that.
You know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, if you've done that and you feel like, hey, my life is just bad and I don't want to be here anymore and this sucks, okay.
Yeah.
So it's your life. You get to make these choices.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is he against assisted suicide?
All Catholics are against suicide.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
Christians
right.
are, absolutely.
Because you go to hell.
Right, right, because this life is sacred and whatnot. Ooh. Yeah. Okay.
You go to hell.
Okay. If that's what he wants to do, I don't have a problem with that, as long as you're not imposing it on anybody else.
So, like, there's the difference between the Dave Catholic, you're Catholic, and then,
like some do.
Did they oppose it? And they're vocal about it. And they get legislation passed to oppose these things.
Yeah,
but not really. Not anymore.
What?
It was a thing that that used to happen. The church doesn't have any real power anymore.
That's not true at all.
Oh,
dude, the church just got
me?
The vaccine amendment shot down.
What are you talking about?
Have you heard about the heartbeat bills? You heard about the heartbeat bills? You want to talk about ectopic pregnancies? You want to talk about what they're doing in Ohio and shit like
Bama,
that? What
I
the
think.
Fuck?
Yeah, it's not. We don't see it as much
in
New Jersey. But the bill on... that we were discussing on Facebook.
Yeah.
That failed.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Get
out
of here.
Podcast ruined.
I am so sorry, guys. That is me, and it was a work call.
All right,
and
start
everything.
Again. Jay, start reading that thing.
I sent it straight to voicemail. Good. I'm sorry. What was it? You were talking about the vaccine bill.
Yeah, so that failed in the Senate.
Really?
Am I coming through?
I think so. I don't have my headphones on.
Oh, it's my headphones.
Irresponsible podcast.
I did. Everybody sounded good until my headphones started.
It failed in the, passed the state house. It was I want to say 60 to 20 something.
Mm-hmm.
And then it failed in the Senate because they didn't have the votes. They were going to lose the vote. So the speaker pulled it.
And what exactly was the, I mean, not exactly because that would take a while, but my understanding was that it was to require nationally vaccinations at a certain age. If you
state
were
level. So this has been state by state. The vaccinations, I don't want to speak with too much authority on the national level, but I believe state right now, yeah. You are nationally mandated to be vaccinated to go to public schools. Now,
okay.
At a state by state level, there are different
exemptions.
So there's an increasing movement. There's six states who have already adopted. The only exemption that you are allowed now is a medical exemption written by a doctor. New Jersey is, we have a medical exemption and a religious exemption. Other states have a medical, religious, and philosophical exemption.
Philosophical yes. exemption.
So the problem that was happening in New Jersey, or that is happening in New Jersey, I should say, is that people, once they took away the philosophical exemption, people began going to using religion as a medical exemption, but they're not super Catholic. Like, I have one of the people I co-teach with was telling me about, like, there's this whole group of Facebook parents that she's in that talks about, all you have to do is just tell them that your religion forbids it. You just have to write a letter.
Well, hold on. How does Catholicism forbid?
No, there's no religion except for, I believe it's Hasidic Judaism that
is like
expressly forbids.
Yeah. Okay, so they're just saying my religion.
Correct.
Yes.
They're just claiming it.
So they're claiming it as a philosophical exemption. And it's even like, I mean, whatever, like, I don't care about practicing versus not.
It is. It's like religion's getting used as the pawn there. That's not even a religious push for a lack of vaccinations.
I mean,
that's just.
Maybe Jehovah's Witness.
They're using that as a chip in the game.
The push in the. The push in the Senate was a lot of Christian Catholic who were down there on Monday giving speeches about how God made me perfect and God.
Well, that's just not true.
That's not true at all.
Yes, but those are the speeches that were being given, and that God,
I thought he made us imperfect. That's not even right.
He absolutely
we're flawed, right?
God made us imperfect.
The apple and everything. It was like a whole thing. Yeah. That guy didn't even read the book. I barely read the book, and I know that. That's just silly.
That was the argument that was being pushed by a lot of Catholics.
Wow.
And it ended up, surprise, surprise,
I can't believe that.
Republicans turned on the bill and said that it is a violation of their first, like we talked about, a violation of their First Amendment rights when it is explicitly not.
I don't understand. Oh, because of the religion thing.
Freedom of religion.
Okay.
So the argument, that the constitutional argument was that was being made was that it's against freedom of religion. It impinges, which it does not. In no way.
Other than, okay, so forget the freedom of religion thing, because that's like we're clearly using that as a playing card.
Yes. I think half are using it as a playing card and half are.
Sure. Okay. I'm sure there's some people.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. But what is is there a legitimate argument against having to be vaccinated to go to school? Like, or is it because I've heard crazy people?
No, there is no legitimate argument.
There's no scientifically backed argument whatsoever.
I didn't think so, right? There's not.
No.
Not as far as I know.
No.
But has anyone come up with a good reason other than the fact that they're like, hey, I'm pretty sure this causes autism?
Because I read
because Jenny McCarthy shared an article in 2012.
Is that where it comes from?
It all stems from the famous Lancet
fucking.
Lancer Lannister.
Yep. No, Lancet was the publication that published the
Game of Thrones cut.
It was a medical journal that published one study, and that said there was a correlation. However, that person who created the study has been pretty much discredited completely. The report itself has been discredited completely. The Lancet has published retractions of that multiple times, but they still hold on to this one published study from,
I believe it was 2012.
No, I think it was earlier.
Earlier? Oh, might have been.
It was like 2002.
Oh, you might be right.
They both have twos.
You might be right.
And who spread this?
Jenny McCarthy.
Jenny.
Originally started with Jenny McCarthy. That was what got it a lot of mainstream press.
Trash.
And now, so what's been happening is
you're gonna trust your children's health to Jenny McCarthy?
Apparently, some people do.
It gained a lot of traction in the all natural living circles.
Of course,
people who believe that what are those things called? Essential oils cure
crystals
cancer
and shit.
Yeah, and that like drinking bleach is
the Steve
like a
Jobs
thing
crowd.
Drinking bleach, that crowd too.
Or
drinking bleach. I'm sorry,
MR? You ever heard of this?
Yeah,
no.
That's kind of a newer thing. It's
that
more
used to be what you'd say to someone like you they were being stupid and you were like mad at them.
Oh, now the stupid
go
people
drink
are,
bleach.
The stupid people are doing it
because everybody knew that was a bad thing to do.
There was an alternative.
What happened?
There's an alternative medicine movement started by a Dr. Reverend, by the way.
Dr. Reverend, yep.
Who's this 90-year-old
wait, is that his name?
Loony. No, but he claims to be a doctor.
Of course.
Dr. Reverend.
And he pushes, which is what is basically industrial bleach as a cure-all for a lot of things. and supposedly only in minor amounts, but people have taken it way too far. It's called
MMS?
MMS,
oh,
one of the two.
So you're basically supposed to be like microdosing bleach and people are like drinking it by the cup? Or?
Yeah, it's yes.
Yeah, but then also like no. Like in, was it Uganda where it's super...
God, yeah.
Excuse me?
So it's not, it's a very crazy. Fringe belief in the United States, but it's catching on, like, because people are stupid.
In the developing world? Yeah.
But in the developing world, like, that's where he proselytized this to begin with.
But he's an American guy.
Yeah. So, like, it was in Uganda, they were just like, you
they
know,
were claiming
hundreds
that
of thousands
cured
of
AIDS
people.
And, like, yeah.
Oh, being, all true stuff.
We're being dosed, of course.
Right.
We're being dosed with this shit. So it's actually, like, really, when you do some of the research on it, it's actually really scary it makes sense that it would catch on.
Well, it's drinking bleach. It's scary.
Yeah,
you don't want to do it.
But you have these third world countries that are like, this is being marketed as a cure all, and like that's where they're going. They're taking advantage of these people.
Or who's to say? I mean, we think these people are ignorant and naive. Maybe they figured something out. I don't know, guys.
The results haven't really come out yet.
I would love to.
This may need further testing.
Well, you find yourself a
failure. I've got some bleach.
If you want to, I mean, you can.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
not gonna,
more than welcome to.
No, I need to be the test case. You guys need to drink
the
bleach.
No, I'm the control.
We're the control. We're the control.
No, I'm the control. That's me. You guys drink the bleach.
I feel like if you...
Then we will compare. This is science.
Well, all right, let's do it.
All right.
See, it makes sense now.
Next week,
once I said science.
So... This is the kind of anti-science ignorance that is being weaponized by
and I'm telling you, Facebook groups, like it gets spread so much of this
on social media.
On fucking Facebook, yeah.
Mm.
Like I'm subscribed to so many Reddits called like anti-MLM. That's just like
multi-levels,
essential oil people.
Oh, pyramid schemes.
But then there's one called Facebook Science, which is just like people who take screenshots from mommy groups of just like you know, I'm gonna get my kid bleach and all that sort of shit.
And like, I was explaining this to my co-teacher. She's not an anti-vaxxer, but she was saying she's like I almost with my first kid fell into that anti-vax thing, and it's like she's like I still think it's suspicious that there's all these chemicals in there involved. And I was like, and she's like, and you know, like I went to, she's a little alternative health a little, she's like I went to this alternative health doctor and they did a blood test and he said there was metal in my blood, and I was like, well, you know, name withheld,
iron in it.
There is iron in it,
right?
And she's like, yeah, but he said it was building up and building up. And I was like, well, okay, let me pose a different question to you. If I had told you that you got some chemicals on your skin when you were 2 years old and those chemicals were still there right now, what would you say to me? You're an idiot. Well, yeah, because you make new skin cells, the same as you make new blood cells. Mm-hmm. But it's like this pseudoscience-y grift that people are on.
She thought because there was metal in her blood that was from vaccines?
From vaccines and different toxins. Yeah, that's what this doctor was telling her, and she kind of did her own research.
Yeah, alleged
and was like,
doctor.
Sound like a doctor to me. Yeah.
Well, she said it was what did she call him?
A homeopathic
doctor.
Yeah, that's even. Let's.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah.
We have.
Yeah, I've heard
movies.
Of them. Yeah. I've heard of them.
No, homeopathy.
And he was trying to get her to do like a whole blood filtration thing for all this money, and I'm like, yeah, this is a grift.
Filter
like,
your blood. You need that.
Yeah. You need the iron in your blood. So thankfully, like she did her own research and like
didn't fall into the trap.
But it's like I don't know, man.
Susceptible people here. You
there
know?
Are, but like if you are doing a job and someone comes in, like I'm a teacher. If someone comes in who has no teaching experience and tells me, well, you're doing all of this wrong. What you really need to do is this, and all the studies show this. And like when parents come in, like that rightly gets me a little bit fucking upset. And just like if I came into your job and told you,
yeah, exactly.
Dave, this is how you should mortgage.
You don't tell somebody how to do their job.
Yeah,
precisely.
You're like, you don't touch a black man's radio. You don't tell somebody how to do their job.
Why?
And you don't ask a woman how old she is. There are rules.
Absolutely.
There are rules in polite society that we all adhere to.
Why in God's name would you tell a doctor, like, I'm fine with getting a second opinion. Like, of course, you should. But like
from a shaman.
Yeah, that's where the issue is.
From an accredited physician.
Witch doctor, no.
Like, what makes you think that Yahoo.com and Quora
Yahoo Answers. Like,
and Yahoo Answers.
Hold on.
Is
Quora
more
trusting anything in your life to Yahoo, you're making a mistake right away.
That's what these people do though, and that's where I want to be in their heads. I want to know. I found
on Bing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, well, clearly you've already made an error. Let me steer you back in the right direction.
You're on Bing.
I can't fix everything in your life, but I can fix this. Clearly you've got major problems. Let me solve a minor one for you.
I can at least help you. Might point you in the right direction.
There's
a little
this
bit.
Thing called Google. Like these you want to get on that.
These people are fucking insane. And telling them anything and engaging with them, which is why I made the post on my wall. And
Anti-vax moms?
Anyone who's in that like cognitive dissonance. Because even the religion stuff, if you had engaged me, and I'm sure I had ever had the religion discussion, but...
We've discussed religion for sure.
There were times in high school and early college where I would defend to the death these insane beliefs that there's a crazy sky man. And I would never... there was no way you could have gotten me to listen to reason. I don't know if any of you ever tried to reason with me about it.
I don't think I would have bothered.
Yeah.
I don't make a habit of trying to convert people.
But, like, there's no way that...
Not my thing.
People listen. So, like, even posting on these comments, the reason I posted it on my wall instead of, like, replying to some of the crazy people who were writing it on their wall was because I didn't see any point in engaging, because there's nothing I could say.
Yeah.
There's no scientific studies I could show. There's no Supreme Court cases I could cite that would convince them. There's no facts that I could present, because it's all feelings. I don't understand how you pull people away from that.
I don't either.
Because it is
a safety risk. So here's the thing. It's evolution.
So they'll die.
Requires natural selection. And some of these people
might need
to go. So listen,
it's
you want to not vaccinate your kids.
The gene pool.
Okay.
It's a big skimmer.
You don't get them. You don't get them in public school. Like, that's the rule. I'm not a doctor. I don't know shit about vaccinations. For all I know, there are side effects to vaccinations that we're all unaware of. But for the most part, the benefit that they are providing us
far outweighs
yes. any potential unproven downside.
Yes.
Correct.
There's polio.
Yes. It's
have you
exactly.
heard of it? Smallpox. Yes. Not good.
Uh-huh.
Bad stuff. Used to be all over the place. Infant mortality, way high.
Yeah.
Now, super low. These are good things. Less children dying.
Objectively, those are good
is a plus. So let's say even if there is something going on and we don't know, until there's definitive
correct.
Proof that like it's more of a problem than it is a benefit, I completely support your right to not vaccinate your child, but then you don't get public school.
Yeah. Yes. I'm totally down with
that. You can't be with the other kids.
Yeah.
Because of herd immunity and a number
point.
Of other factors. It's just that's the way it's got to be, guys.
Yeah.
And we're at 92%. Immunity. The herd immunity rate for anything is 95% currently in New Jersey for, I'm going to get this wrong now. Mumps or measles. It's one of those two. The
those MMR. Two are also bad.
It's one of the MMR vaccine ones. We're at a 92% immunity rate in New Jersey. Vaccination.
So, it's gone
down. So we are below the herd. Well, it's
gone
down.
You want to be above 95%
target rate.
You need
to be above 95% to have herd immunity.
Like
in New Jersey, we are at 92%, which means we no longer have herd immunity.
Well, they've been having like outbreaks of this stupid
there's
shit
been,
in Washington.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's where all the hippies are.
And in certain places, I think in upstate New York, yeah.
Yeah, New York had, there's
1,200
cases in New Jersey, I think. I might have misread it, unless maybe that was nationwide, but it was like 1,200 cases, I believe, in New Jersey.
Wow.
That's crazy.
Which is absurd in this day and age.
Yeah.
And it's not, so like when
like it's making a, these diseases are making a comeback because of anti-science bullshit.
Yes. And your kid hasn't gotten it yet, your unvaccinated kid, but they will if they're not vaccinated and the diseases around them, that's how these things work.
Yep.
And you're right. To free expression, free speech, and all that is fine. If you want to unvaccinate yourself, if there's some magic way to do that, I don't give a fuck. You're of sound mind and body. Where you have an issue with me now is when you fucking fuck up other people, and especially kids' lives. Mm-hmm. You've got second graders, first graders, and kindergartners who cannot make an informed decision for themselves, who cannot decide, I want to be vaccinated because my parents are fucking stupid and they don't know how to read science.
Unfortunately, you can't tell people how to raise their kids. Like, there's... It's just...
Yeah.
You just can't.
But you can tell them.
That's one of those things.
School.
You don't ask a woman's age. You don't simply tell somebody how to do their job. And you don't tell people how to raise their kids. That's just,
but, so
just
but,
how it
so
is.
The argument
but
that
you
I...
don't get into public school then.
No, you don't. There's a penalty to be paid.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's you don't get access to that. And
enjoy homeschooling, your little rugrat.
Yeah, right? Listen, the people
and
do...
parochial schools.
People fuck up their kids in all sorts of ways.
Yes,
and that's,
they do.
Definitely.
Yes, they do.
That's a shitty one. But like, it's just like anything else. Like, you know what? You get to fuck up your kids the way you want to fuck them up because they're your kids. We all got fucked up in some way. I mean, look at Brandon.
I know.
So, but is it abuse? I mean, that I come back to.
I mean, with me,
the question I ask myself.
What's that?
Is it a form of neglect? When does it become a form of neglect?
I don't know. That's a tough question.
I mean, on paper, I could see.
And like, I'm a mandated reporter, so I wrestle with this a little bit because like it's part of my.
I'm a mandated reporter. I was like, they're making you a journalist.
Yeah, wait, what?
by force. you have no choice.
You got drafted like, into so your journalism.
I can lose my licensure if
he's got to report people.
If I don't report child abuse or neglect.
Yeah.
So I can lose my license to teach.
That's interesting.
So the question I come back to is, okay, if we say anti-vax isn't neglectful, not vaccinating your kids against these diseases that could kill them when they're preventable isn't neglectful, okay, but what's that line? Is it dosing them with bleach? Is it instead of if they have a very high fever and flu-like symptoms.
Well, dosing them is definitely a different story.
See, I feel like that right there is.
Right there, because you're taking a positive action. You're poisoning your child.
What about,
versus just letting your child live naturally, quote
What about
unquote.
Essential oils? So if you have a high, like a 105, if they're spiking a 105 fever, instead of taking them to the hospital or the doctors in the ICU, you give them an essential oil on their forehead to bring it down.
I think anybody who believes in essential oils or crystals or whatever it is needs to recognize at some point that conventional, for lack of a better term, Western medicine needs to be brought into play. If you want to put crystals around your kid's bed and he's got a cough and he's got a fever of 100 and you put essential oils
like, you know,
on him, okay. But guess what?
The
if we're on 101,
really well
102, if things aren't getting better. And this goes for everybody. Listen, you don't go to the hospital just for whatever.
Right.
Yeah. You take some Tylenol. You try to sleep it off. You do the same thing with kids. But if things aren't getting better, you need to take them to the hospital.
Yes.
And at that point, I think, if you have 104 fever and you were like, oh, well, I prayed.
Yeah.
I think that's neglect. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's 100%. Kind of where I come down. I don't.
That's like Christian Scientists. Yeah.
It's a lot of the all natural. That was
that
the girl did, who I was arguing with on
Venn
Facebook
on
about
that
the
is. There's a big
1A.
Overlap
of Christians and scientists.
No Christians.
So it's a lot of them. There are a lot of Christian scientists out there. They pray in the morning. Right. They're using beakers at night. It's a crazy mixed up world.
So I found out that there's a lot.
I said beakers, but I made the hand motion for pipettes.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Dave knows what the fuck he's miming. All right.
She's a fucking man of science. Science over here.
Have you taken classes? Like, you're really good at this.
Yeah, like I took basic level chemistry courses in college.
And
like
improv. You're
15
amazing.
15 years ago. And improv. Oh, God.
But that was the girl I was having the argument about, or with, at first, is a teacher. And then I found out through one of my co-teachers that there's a fairly sizable contingent in
let me tell you.
All natural.
Well, first of all, that's all that even all anything is very weird.
Yes, but if you're all in one boat, it's probably not.
Hey, hold on. Have you thought about it? So, but your post, I agree entirely with everything you said about the vaccines. But your use of the term talking points triggered me like a straight up SJW.
All right, Snowflake, let's talk.
I snowflaked hard on that when I was like, talking points? Really? It's just such a dismissive
term. It was meant to be.
Term. Okay.
I didn't realize
there was like a specific target to ire, but. When I read that, I was like, "That's just such a disrespectful."
It was 100% meant to be disrespectful.
Talking. Anybody who says talking points, I'm like, "Oh, it's a talking point." Yeah. Somebody you disagree with says a lot, so like, it's not worth talking about.
Generally, my view of a talking point, my definition of a talking point in like good faith, because that was meant. That sentence was in bad faith. 100%.
I should admit it.
But. What I would generally classify as a talking point is something that's repeated that you have not, that is false or you have not, like is demonstrably false that you have not done any research on or that you are unwilling to engage in facts on. So,
if you want to have
a conversation with me about 1A rights and you want to talk to me about, hey, look, I looked in this Supreme Court case and I saw this and I wonder like if this means and you want to bring evidence, then I wouldn't necessarily classify that as you using a talking point. But if some of the posts that I saw, which was what led me to make the post, were people saying, first they're going to come for this, and then what are they going to do next? And then they're going to come
stick
you in
your home. Well, it's a slippery
slope, Jay. And so... yes.
Is that a talking point?
Oh, dude, in like two or three of them, it was literally they said slippery slope. And I'm like, oh, now I'm triggered.
slippery slopes are a real thing. But
it has to be used.
Right.
Correct.
Well, we have to talk about slippery slopes. Yes. It's a talking point because we should talk about it. What you're saying, I would almost equate to a sound bite.
That might be.
Okay.
It's like
quoting sound bites.
They took our jobs.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Okay. Well, listen. Should we talk about who's taking what jobs and who's working here and who's working there? And do you want to talk about jobs or do you just want to yell? They're taking our jobs.
Exactly.
You know, it's
that's more of a sound bite, and I think that's a better word. Yeah.
I think talking points are valuable. We should all have
I think points
we can talk about.
I think that's the point.
I think it's important to.
But yeah, I was straight up. I was like, I stumbled upon your post. I'll tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. So I took Instagram off my phone.
So now it's all
because Facebook. It was a pain in my balls, and I kept looking at it when I was bored, and so I was like, I wonder what's on Facebook. And the first thing that popped up was your long ass post about vaccines.
Dave's like,
and I read the whole thing.
All right, here we go. Get into it.
And I was with you the whole way until you were like, and that's just a right wing talking point. And I was like, how dare he? How dare he?
That was 100% meant to trigger the grand old party.
That's all right. Because when I excuse me, parroted talking point back at you is meant the same way.
No. Oh, and I got into it. I was like, you know my stance on 1A. Like,
yep.
No, but it's just to the point where like you can't argue with these people. And I think that the only way to go after the weaponized ignorance is to come back at them and just trigger the fuck out of them. Like,
I don't know if that's the right approach.
I'm done.
I don't know if you're building bridges.
I'm not trying to.
No, sounds like you're building walls, so like your fan.
I will
your
hero. I'm building a big, beautiful wall between me and anyone who will not argue from facts. You can try to cross that wall, and there's going to be a big door
good.
In the middle of this wall.
Good, as long as you have a big, beautiful door.
But when you get to that big, beautiful
people
door,
can get through legally.
To get through, you know what you're going to have to show me?
Facts.
And if you don't come with facts, we're going to close that big, beautiful door right on you, and we're going to keep you on the other side, okay? Because you're bringing in the crime, you're bringing in the ignorance, you're ruining our economy,
now
and destroying our national discourse.
Think of the children.
You see how he's turning? The worm has turned.
And it's a slippery slope.
His skin is turning orange.
This
right
is exactly
eyes.
What they want.
I should make a post about
Jay's
this.
Building, he's become what he hates.
Right.
You either live
he's
long
become
enough,
the
you
know? Villain. Build those walls. Keep these ignorant people out of here. I don't care if they're brown or not.
So, and I can go like
that's the important
in,
part.
Exactly. In all seriousness, my philosophy behind this has changed because I've been of the mindset that you should be able to through rational discourse and rational conversation have a conversation with someone and on the issues disagree and that's still fine. But if presenting with an overwhelming majority of facts and a good argument, you should be able to at least begin to change that person's mind. Like maybe you're not going to do it in one argument, but you should at least be able to begin to turn that person, right? Mm-hmm. I've begun to think
that's
with a percentage of the population, not just politically, but again, with the anti-vax and the all natural stuff.
Sure.
I've begun to think that that's an impossibility. And we need to pass laws and govern and have our discourse in spite of this. And I don't know if I mean, deplatforming works, but like, I'm not gonna, I don't think I need to have the conversation with you if you're completely unwilling to change your mind. I will go into any conversation if it's a good faith conversation.
That's the trick. Good faith.
Like, willing to change my mind if you can present me with something. And we've had conversations on guns where we had a whole podcast where I was on one far side and you definitely like we both met a little bit.
Oh,
in the
I think
middle.
So, yeah.
I think that it's just there's no point anymore.
That it's so discouraging to hear you say that, Jay. Because I as much listen, there's definitely a
portion of people who are never going to be swayed by anything.
Yes.
I think there's, I don't know what percentage that is. I think it's fairly small.
I feel like it's 20 to 30.
Then the, I think it's smaller than that. I think, but here's, I think there's another portion of people that don't want to be swayed, but that's, can be. Mm. And I think there's a portion of people who are legitimately open to opinions that will change their mind. You're one of those people. You've changed your mind on a lot of things. Yes. I like to think I'm one of those people. I've changed my mind on a lot of things. Brandon's not one of those people.
Brandon,
what
the hell? Brandon, what's the fucking little lefty Lou over
Brandon,
here?
Brandon, what's the last thing you changed? What's the most recent thing you changed your mind on?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Why would I change my mind?
Stuck in his ways, old-fashioned Brandon.
What?
No, I'm just fucking with you. But my point is that what my point was going to be is I think that it's hard to do that on the internet.
That's,
I agree.
I
was going to bring up that.
And,
I was like,
and it's getting like, harder.
By the way, yes.
I think it's getting. I think the portion of people who don't who would change their mind if adequately convinced, but don't want to, is growing.
Yes.
I think there is a larger amount of those people. I think it has to do, I think it has something to do with the internet and social media.
Anonymity
and
being protected.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it definitely has something to do with that.
Same tribalism, like
thought stopping techniques.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. But this just happened to me today. And it's such a silly example, but it's an example and it rang true to me as you were talking about this. I hate The Last Jedi. I really dislike it as a movie. We've talked about this. Yeah. I'm not alone in this camp. I know, you know, not all of us here are huge fans of it either. But I didn't watch. I listened to like a 35-minute YouTube video today that made me go, huh.
Yeah. That's how, like, I've heard criticism and argument on both sides of that. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, it's not the worst, but it's also like, it's nearly not great. But
it only took 35 minutes of audio argumentation, presentation of evidence, laying out of fact and theory and you know, a narrative to make me not totally change my mind about The Last Jedi. I still think it's probably the worst,
Star Wars
movie. If we're not talking about the prequels, it certainly is the worst Star Wars movie, in my opinion. But there are redeeming qualities that I had not thought of or realized previously. And it was just made me rethink it right there. And I was like, yeah, well.
It's because we have these things called relatively open minds.
And that's the thing, like, you have to...
Me and Jay do.
You fucking doesn't.
But I think that... Like, and what I've done, and in that thread I didn't, but what I will usually do if I'm having, like, a good faith conversation with somebody on Facebook is I'll say, like, my DMs are open. I would love to talk to you about this on the phone so we can have, like, a more productive conversation. DM me, and I'll give you my number, and we can talk. Because I agree that on the internet, you're not gonna change a mind on the internet. You're going to make a point, and you're going to shore up your side, which I think in this case, like, if we're talking politics or anything like that, I think right now shoring up support is super important, like on both sides are trying it. And
oh sure.
But if I'm going to try to change your mind, there's no way I'm going to change your mind on Facebook where you can literally just go to R the Donald or you can go to R anti-vax and look up a meme and post it and shit post it and like
I don't think it works.
I
think it works much better in person. But
yes.
What worries me about what you were saying before about just like I'm not going to talk to these people, I'm not going to engage with these people, is that once you stop engaging with people and talking with people, especially people
then
you disagree with,
then anybody who could be turned, they're already canceled out.
Yes, that's what I had been saying about when we talked about the censorship of people like Alex Jones. You send people into hiding, you send people underground, and all of a sudden they're lost forever. There's once you cut off conversation with these people, the next step is violence. Because if you can't change their minds and they can't change yours, and the issue becomes important enough. People take to violent measures. That's the next step. That's when wars start.
Yes.
So I worry about
so
not engaging people as a rule.
At my big, beautiful door.
Right.
Sure, if you bring facts and we debate the facts, that's fine. Because to me, that shows that you're willing to have a good faith conversation. I'm referring to just I'm done with the people who are... Like, I had... an argument with someone on Facebook about like the whole pulling yourself up by your bootstraps and how, well, really what they should do is just work harder and get all these jobs that are going to pay them $15 an hour. And it's really their fault. I was like, well, really, like, statistically, it's not, and, like, 42% of the population is making a non-livable wage. And so my question to you would then be, do you think that there are enough jobs to cover 42% of the working population to bring them up to $15 an hour? The response I got was, I don't care about your facts and statistics, I feel.
And the next thing I said was, I was like, closing the door.
All right, you've given me facts over feelings right now. Like,
right, no, that's
or silly. You give me feels over reels, we're done with this conversation.
Right, absolutely.
Those are the people I'm talking about where I'm done engaging because it's a waste of time.
Well, Jay, you shouldn't do anything, you shouldn't engage in anything that takes away from your joy.
My joy is turning people to my side.
And that's fine if that's what you find joy in.
Yes.
And I think you do it in an honest way.
Yes.
And if you don't want to engage with somebody, listen, you're free to not engage with anybody you don't want. But on a personal level. But I think when we start making laws and making policy about these things, then it becomes more than on a personal level. So then we're doing it on a government level. Then we're mandating.
So what do you feel about non-governmental deplatforming? So a platform like YouTube. So I think it's
totally legal in most cases and well within the rights.
What do you
of,
think morally? I mean,
I think it's a bad idea to deplatform almost anybody.
What about like Milo? So like I used to be of that mindset, and I'm starting to come around to the other side because like Milo, poster boy for gay Nazis, Yiannopoulos. That's a completely accurate characterization. He's an A+ troll. He's extremely good at what he did. So he went from having millions of followers and just like rolling in the grifter dough to he was deplatformed from basically everything, and now he's on. I think the only thing he's on right now is this thing called, I want to say it's Telegram. I don't know. It's some weird alt-right messaging service. He only has now, and he was recently, there were like logs that were shown of him. He goes, I can't keep doing this anymore. I'm paraphrasing because
your British is terrible.
With like only 2,000 followers, I don't have enough money. Like there's no point, blah, blah, blah. So at that point, deplatforming to me looks like it worked in that case. Like,
I'm not saying it doesn't work in some cases, and if that's your desired result, I think you're doing more harm than good.
Interesting.
By deplatforming anyone as a rule. Maybe there are extreme cases. I mean, hey, listen, if it's hard to argue against deplatforming like Hitler, if Hitler had Twitter. But I think if you deplatform people as a rule, I think if that's your go-to, and I think if it's not done with extreme caution, you're doing more harm than good because, you're censoring a certain portion of the population who is now going to go underground, and you've lost them forever. We should be talking to these people. Like, we should be engaging with these people and trying to bring them into the light, trying to show them the world as it really is and as it could be versus giving up on them. I mean, you want to talk about the unfortunate members of society, people who truly believe in some of these things and follow them, some of these people, they are unfortunate in a major way. And I think you lose them when you start cutting them out of society. So as much as I think it's hard to not want to deplatform people, I think it's one of those things like vaccinations where I think we should err on the side of, hey, give it to everybody.
Oh, I don't think you deplatform. I'm not saying deplatform someone who, like, honestly, Richard Spencer's, I think he should be deplatformed. But, like, if you're going to get on YouTube and...
I only know Milo because he was hilarious.
But Richard Spencer is a Nazi.
If you want to get on YouTube and just talk about, like, how you believe in, you know, the glory of the white race and how debunked studies show that white people are the best, like, I'm like, okay, probably don't deplatform, demonetize.
Yeah, I mean, I don't like that. I'm not a fan of those people, but unfortunately, they have the same freedom of speech that we do.
Calls to violence.
Calls to violence.
Absolutely against freedom of speech. It's illegal.
I think you're gone. That's done.
Yeah, and slander and libel, provable lies that are like malicious lies.
Is it like the recent election in the UK where there was data that was released that was like 80% of what was the other? It's Labour and the Tory party's Tory ads.
Mm-hmm. I don't even know who is what over there.
I know it's different.
Tory is our alt-right.
Yeah.
So and they won 80% of the
their
political ads were
Provable,
demonstrably,
provably,
not just like
false,
a little bit false. Like we're building 45 hospitals
when there are kids dying on the floor.
You're not like so like demonstrably false, and they were not deplatformed. So I feel like that. Like I agree with Twitter taking all political ads off of Twitter. I think that's 100%.
Well, we need a drastic rework of how we select our politicians. I mean, money needs to be taken almost entirely out of politics. I almost think campaigning should be taken out of politics.
Campaigning. Yeah,
there's enough
yeah.
information in like the world if you want to vote and want to take that responsibility seriously, you will go out of your way to learn things about candidates. Like a small budget just to get your name out there.
Propaganda. Like it's probably campaigning is a form of propaganda to me.
It's a little bit insane that we still do it that way. And especially that you can use like private funds for it.
That's really
we're
going to
use public money for anything, it's everybody gets like $100,000 for their campaign.
Totally
or whatever. Or even like $1 million, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If you can garner X amount of support, this is how much money you get.
Yeah.
And like that's it. Like they do with the debate.
Yes.
Yeah, there needs to be no dark money. It needs to be all in the public eye.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to be putting any money towards campaigning.
Absolutely. Well, I don't want anybody's private money. I don't think, no matter how rich you are.
We have a problem with super PACs. That's
the problem. It's all, I don't think you should be able to give money to politicians
either.
Absolutely not. If money is speech, which it isn't.
it is, but it shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be able to just give politicians additional speech.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like, everyone gets the same amount of resources to work with, and that's it. You got to run on that. If you're a good politician, or rather you're a good public servant, because politician,
really
I don't know if you
means,
can be a good politician.
Precisely.
That might be an oxymoron.
Yeah, I think it's an oxymoron.
If you're a good public servant, you'll get elected. Mm-hmm. People believe in what you're saying, you'll get elected. That should be it.
No, I agree 100%. I think that it's ridiculous that we have...
Rework all the districts so they're all squares. I'm done with the gerrymandering stuff.
Gerrymandering is also insane.
Redo all of it. And then
our democracy's a little busted, I feel.
And that's my big worry.
I think all
broken,
of them are.
But I think it's busted. It needs fixing.
Every democracy is busted. Every system of government's busted. Yeah, no, I mean,
none of them are perfect.
Right? No, nothing's perfect. Well, I just think we're spiraling.
It was
more.
Pretty good 250 years ago. We need to make some minor tweaks for the modern age. Mm-hmm. I think some people go too far with the tweaks, but... There's certainly adjustments to be made.
Correct.
I mean, and again, things we can all agree with. I don't know anybody who thinks there should be more money in politics.
Well, I know.
Can we get the money out of the politics?
I know a class of people who think there should be money in politics.
I suppose. Like, are you talking about rich people?
The people who already have money in politics. Yes.
Michael Bloomberg.
Talking about rich people.
Michael Bloomberg is polling at 7%.
Okay.
Nationally. Like.
It's not a lot.
It kind of is.
It kind of is. It's higher than... Booker, Yang. It's now he's only 2 percentage points lower than Buttigieg.
Well, he's a popular guy. People like Mike Bloomberg. Mikey, that's what we
Who
call him.
Who knew Mike Bloomberg? How did anybody know Mike Bloomberg out of New York, New Jersey? And everybody hated him for the gallon soda ban. Like, what? When did people start liking Mike Nanny State? Nanny State Mike Bloomberg!
Mike, stop it, Chris Bloomberg.
I don't know.
Like, when did that happen?
I doubt it has to do with his money, Jake.
I doubt it has anything to do with his money.
You think he's using his money?
Yeah.
You think he's using money for that?
It's so weird that, like, the blanketing of ads in these, like, southern states and, like, any state that's nowhere near New York and New Jersey.
But what does that have to do with money, Jake?
Well, Dave, okay, so let me politics 101 things for you. Money 101.
You get money for me? Money 101 for me.
Money.
I've heard of it.
Can be exchanged for goods and services.
I've heard of those too. Okay. I like them.
One of the goods and services is advertisements.
Ah, ruining the internet. Know all about it.
So you can take money and buy a shit ton of advertisements.
That doesn't seem fair.
Then put them on the air and people who have no idea about you.
That would almost make for an unbalanced election.
All they get is that picture.
It's funny you should say that,
Dave. That's interesting. Welcome aboard, Dave.
It seems unfair.
That is.
Welcome aboard. I've started this train. I'm the conductor for goddamn forever.
I mean, it's just, that to me is one of the most telling and like I'll attack Democrats just as much as I'll attack Republicans.
They both do it.
That to me is one of the most disgusting and telling things about where we are, is that literally
part of our system.
A billionaire has bought 7% of the vote and has no substantive national experience and will be on the debate stage over Booker.
Was he the governor?
No, he was just mayor of New York.
He's mayor.
He's never the governor, right?
Nope.
Yeah. But being
a billionaire, and then a mayor, and then a billionaire.
I mean, national experience, I know what you're saying, but like, I don't know if being a senator gives you like national experience. I mean, I know it does.
At least
does,
they make you more familiar with the Constitution, but we've come to find.
But I'll tell you what, man, being a mayor
I'm not saying senators are fucking smart, but I'm saying at least
being
they have a
mayor might
more
be more difficult than being a senator. I might give you more chops.
Sure,
certainly more than being a congressperson. There's like a gazillion of those.
Not really.
Yeah, it's like 800.
Nope. There's a completely disproportional amount of we should have more representatives. We should actually have more senators. Is really what we
I don't know. The two per state thing. It's like maybe we should have less states.
Well, we should have smaller states then, because it unduly gives. So, like California is the go-to example for this, but you can do it in Texas too. Mm-hmm. So we can do it in a red state and a blue state. Mm-hmm. Senators from Texas represent, I don't even know, California's 8 million or something like that. Which is it higher?
Oh, I don't know.
Are
you counting Mexicans or no?
No, I'm only counting the people who came through the Golden Door.
Okay, good. It's hard to count the Mexicans. They're always moving.
All right, so let's say 8 million just for shits.
Sure.
I feel like that's wrong, but so each senator represents 4 million people. New Jersey has a population of, I don't know, for shits, 1 million. Each senator represents 500,000 people.
Right.
Smaller states like Rhode Island has a population of, you know, less than a million. So you have senators representing 80,000, 90,000 people.
Right. No, I understand.
So people's
what you're...
voices have undue.
That's
a counterbalance to Congress.
House. Yeah,
they're not representing people. You shouldn't even look at it that way. They're representing states.
Well,
because it's the United States of America. The important part is we are a collection of states.
But when we went to an election,
right, the House represents the population.
But when we went to an election for senators, I feel like at that point you need to apportion a little bit more. I don't know. That's just.
I think the counterbalance.
Senators didn't used to be elected.
I think the counterbalance. I'm not totally against not electing senators. But I think the counterbalance slows those wheels of democracy in an intentional manner
that
gives the states more pull. Because I mean, the whole point is that the states are supposed to keep the country, the nation in check.
Yeah.
So if you have unequal representation of states just based on population, then they lose that power. So
what we do need is term limits in the Senate.
Oh, yeah, oh, term limits everywhere. 100%. And get the money out of there, too.
Yeah, well,
give me all that money. Get rid of it.
Yes.
Pay for something. One of these public programs you guys like so much.
Legislate for re-election. That's all they want to do is re-election. That's all they
Maybe that's what you should do. Maybe, ooh, here's an idea. So instead of raising money for your campaign, you raise money for charity. And the more you can raise an unlimited,
a lot bigger, and I like it. It's good looking pie.
This is a totally legitimate
I'm totally
system.
With you.
You raise money for charity, and the more money you raise for charity, the more time you get on whatever. The more advertising time, the more flyers, the more whatever it is, and I don't know who pays for that. Maybe the corporations do. They can pay for it. They can pay for all the advertising. They can give away some free ad time.
Corporations need to pay their fucking taxes, and that's it. That's it.
That solves another problem.
I mean, it solves a lot of problems.
I was going to say,
did I tell you about my tax credit charity thing?
No.
Okay, so I've been really thinking about how you can promote charitable giving as a charitable person. I hang out with you guys. Trust me, I'm very charitable.
Yeah, all right. Jesus Christ over here. Dying for our sins.
But I was thinking about it. Like, what if instead of, like, paying taxes, let's say you have, like, a base, because like, you know my stance on taxes, hate them, but they're necessary. So you have, like, a base level of taxation. Let's say every corporation has to pay, no matter what, you can't get beyond, or you can't get away from, like, 10% of your revenue.
That's
whatever
your minimum.
It is. That's your bare minimum. There's no way to move it offshore. There's no way to write it off. You got to pay 10% no matter what. Baseline. Okay, great. And then beyond that, based on how much money you make, you have to pay a certain percentage instead of taxes to an approved, like a 403B, is it?
So like
charity of your choice.
So you would like, in this instance, maybe like you could pay up to 15% taxes, or you pay the bare minimum 10%.
Right, you pay the 10%, you take the 5%, yeah, and you give it to whatever.
Sure.
And for that, you get a tax write-off of that.
A 5% tax write-off.
Like straight off the top.
A tax write-off equivalent to what you gave.
Right, exactly. Like straight off the top, instead of giving your money to the government, you get to give it to whoever you want, as long as it is a reputable charitable institution. And then you're going to have all these charities popping up to take advantage of that new system. All of a sudden, you've got charitable, you can't have enough charitable institutions. These corporations are trying not to pay this money in taxes, and you give them some sort of benefit for giving it to the charity instead of the U.S. government. I haven't figured that part out yet, but to encourage them to do that instead.
Yeah.
But all of a sudden, you've got corporations who cannot give enough money away to charity. They just are just like, we got to get rid of this
throwing
shit.
It.
We got to get rid of it. Get it out of here. Cancer, done. Research the shit out of that.
Well, it's interesting.
Children's hospitals, here. Woo, make it rain. We got to get rid of this shit, guys.
Because liver cancer, right? It's liver cancer that one of the Koch brothers had, has made tremendous strides in research. One of the Koch brothers had cancer.
Oh, yeah.
The cancer, that ghoul had, made tremendous strides.
Listen,
because he continually donated money to it.
I know you're gonna hate this, but I heard an interview with one of the Koch brothers, and he actually sounded like a really nice guy.
I'm sure they sound like.
I'm sure they. Yeah, Dave.
Like really, just doesn't did not. Sound
I'm sure the devil sounded rules. Real nice when he was offering Eve the apple.
Yeah, I bet he did.
Gee, I thought you didn't believe in religion.
I don't.
Oh, okay. So that metaphor
I'm just
is
trying
down
to reach out to kind
of meaningless,
our
huh? When you take the meat out of it. But yeah, it's, so this way you solve the problem of overtaxing corporations. You solve the problem of giving the government, frankly, too much money and too much power. And you increase the amount of charitable giving and services being done for the less fortunate.
I that sounds great. On paper, that sounds great.
Yeah.
On
I just
paper.
Feel like we are.
Let's
like
get this thing running.
I feel like that could be abused. Too.
I feel like we are toothless.
So? I mean, everything can be abused, sure.
Exactly. Like, instead of shell companies, there's then shell charities. Like, that could be.
Well, you
easily.
Have to have some sort of. I mean,
again,
listen, how much tax money goes into some black hole that we never hear about?
Yeah, but in an ideal world where everything is above board, totally on board.
Well, you have to have, a 503CB, 401K establishment.
That's a lot of things.
It's a lot. It's a couple things. It's tax exempt. Yeah. But you take my meaning. I think there's a way to tweak
like,
things.
I'm with you on that. That's a good one.
I don't disagree that we can tweak things in a certain way. Like I like your idea. I don't disagree that there are ways within the current system that things can be changed. My thing is, I don't think we have our government as it stands, left and right, has the teeth to do anything about it, has the balls to do anything about it. You have a Republican who had to leave his party because he voiced opposition to the president, and you had a Democrat who had to leave his party because he voiced opposition to the impeachment amendments. That's an issue. That's an issue of a government and a set of representatives that is too beholden to re-election and too beholden to corporate interests and too beholden to their own interests. And so until that gets addressed, there is absolutely no way that a system like yours, which makes perfect sense, could ever be instituted because you'd have government officials just turning their backs.
Are you talking about a cleansing?
Oh, yeah. We need to drain the entire swamp. Like,
look, dude, I could 100%.
I thought that was the plan.
Let's fire everybody.
I could 100% make the case for if we were playing Call of Duty
everybody's
against
corrupt.
Some of these people.
Corrupt.
Like,
playing Call of
if
Duty
I'm playing Call of Duty against some of these people.
Here we go.
What? Oh, you'd kill them?
Call of Duty.
And just because right, you have to say that because of the lawyers. Right.
Call of Duty.
Okay, no, I'm with you.
Or Minecraft.
Or else it would be like a call to violence. That's a nice little sidestep.
Just in Call of Duty.
Right, just in Call of Duty.
I'm reframing the argument.
It's clever.
I think that there is a moral.
And Call of Duty with an outdated reference. Fortnite, Jay. Fortnite, the kids are playing Fortnite.
Minecraft.
Christ.
I don't think there is necessarily a moral imperative for all of us yet. I could make the argument that you could claim moral imperative for certain classes and certain people who are just like beaten down and destroyed by this economy who can't live.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I don't necessarily at this point in my life. I don't necessarily think revolution is the worst thing.
Oh man, you're talking about a lot of people dying, Jay.
I know, and that's the problem.
People are already dying.
That's the problem. Like,
no, Brandon, not like in an open war.
No, I know.
We have nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Which would be turned on us.
When you're going to war, that's the thing about, no one wants to nuke anybody else because then they'll get nuked. If we're us, then we do the nuking of us.
Yeah.
Like, and even if we didn't, frankly, just we haven't had a war on American soil in at least 100 years. When was the last one? Was it like 1812 or something?
Well, the Civil War.
The Civil War. 150 years.
That's fair enough. So yeah, 150 years. So yeah, man, I think we can fix it. I don't think we're that far off course that we need a revolutionary or a civil war.
Every day, man.
I don't know if we are right now.
It's not getting worse. That's the thing. You look at it objectively, and things are just getting better.
Well, just in general progress, like, yes, like we're better than we were.
Yes, there's like a massive income inequality, but more people get lifted out of poverty every day. There are less poor people in this country now than there were 100 years ago. It's just a statistical fact. And across the globe, it used to be 90% of the world lived in poverty. Now 10% of the world lives in poverty. You look at food production. I mean, like, almost nobody starves to death in this country.
But it depends on your definition.
Even if you are poor.
Like, poverty, to me, I get that there's the poverty line that we cut off at 19?
I thought it was 25.
Is it 25? Like, that's not a living.
25 what?
Is it 25? The poverty line.
25,000?
Is it 25,000?
Oh, I have no idea.
Like, you have that, but then you also have, like, the 42% of people who are not making a livable wage.
But the thing is, like, the economy and this situation of the of how much, like of a wage you're making, that's not up to the government.
No, I know.
It's a system that, and it's not up to any government. Like, you can prop it up for a little while, but ultimately there's a system that generates this wealth.
Right, but like we talked about, the last time the minimum wage was bumped, there was not a bump down or an increase in unemployment. Mm-hmm. There's no incentive. Like, we can talk about good guy capitalists, and I'm sure there are good guy capitalists.
What is a good guy capitalist?
Someone who is looking out for the well-being of their workers, like, right? But like, what is the main responsibility of a company?
A corporation is to make money for their shareholders.
Make money for their shareholders.
Right.
So right now, the most money to be made is by they can keep wages low and they can still make more and more money. So until there's an incentive, and I don't know how that incentive, I don't think the government should fucking say
there should be a punishment.
There's a punishment, but like, what is the incentive? Why are there 42%? Why are corporations?
The incentive is to pay people what they're worth. You pay people what they're worth.
How do you determine? This is more of a philosophical.
The market determines what your labor is worth. If you can get paid more somewhere else, you will go there. Otherwise, you're unemployed. I mean, if no one's willing to pay you, you don't make any money.
So burger flippers, whatever. Right.
Okay.
Do they have an option to go somewhere else where they will get paid more?
Sure they do. If you want a good burger flipper.
But
there's a certain level of skill that's rising that does mean your labor at a certain point, it's called unskilled labor. It's not worth much. If you want to move boxes from here to there, it's just not worth much. I mean, that's just the state of the world. We have machines that make that a lot easier, and we have a lot of people in this country and around the world trying to move boxes. And we just don't have enough boxes to be moved. Like, you can't create more boxes to be moved, and you can't pay people for not doing anything, because then you stop generating this wealth that's feeding the economy and feeding all of us, quite frankly. I mean, listen, I know a lot of people who are not doing so great and still have $1,000 iPhones. I mean, just the status, the quality of living for people who are, quote unquote, not making it is freaking fabulous compared to what it was even 100 years, talk about 50 years ago.
I'm not going to make the argument that the quality of living hasn't risen, but I will make the argument that corporations, and like, demonstrably, I don't have the data on me, but I can get it for you.
You can make it up, right?
Demonstrably have been making more and more money, right? Which I'm assuming we can all agree on. They're making more and more money on the backs of their workers because they need their workers to make the money, while wages have not increased. So that's my issue, and that's where I see corporations are, like, if everybody's playing the game, then they don't have to do anything.
Wages have increased, just not to the point, like, to the level that you would want them to based on the cost of living, I assume is what you mean.
I would say definitely that, and I would say, like, if you look at the gap.
Yeah,
it's disproportional.
Absolutely, but no, to say wages haven't increased is...
No, that would be a lot. Yeah, that would be...
It's not that they've stagnated.
Sorry,
they haven't increased to the level you would like them to see,
like,
them at,
where
based on the cost.
Corporations are on a big incline, like, the tops of the corporations, and what they earn is, like, a shoop. The lower, the workers are like this.
Right, and hey, listen, that's a problem.
I've made two different
issue I have, and that's like what capitalism should be able to solve that. But can the market solve that if the goal of the market is just to make the most money and people are like unions are disincentivized?
The goal of people is to make the most money. That's what people generally, their goal is. I mean, do you want to make as much money as you possibly can for the work that you do? I mean, Jay, I'm taking $10,000 off your salary right now. How do you feel about that?
No.
You want more money.
I want more money.
What if I said, hey, Jay, I'm going to give you $10,000 more on your salary? You'd be in favor of that.
Okay, so now...
You want to make...
Yes, absolutely.
As much as everybody does.
Yes.
That's the basis of free markets.
Right.
That everybody is going to act in their best interest for the most part. That doesn't mean you don't sacrifice for other people. That doesn't mean you don't, you know, make donations to the poor. That doesn't mean you don't hand out money to the guy on the street. That just means, in general, for the most part, your actions are going to be aligned with your interests. And your interests are to make the most of you can of what you can from your labor. You want to make hay while the sun shines. And you want to make enough hay that when you get old, you don't got to be making hay no more. So for the most, that's what our economy is. It's a series of voluntary interactions of people trying to survive in a world that's not entirely survivable. And the world, the baseline, the bare bottom of existence gets higher every day. Not surviving in this country today is not like not surviving was 100 years ago. And it's way not like not surviving was 200 years ago. Like, it's just
you're not going to find me arguing with you on that.
I mean, there's people who live on the street who still shit in a toilet every day. You know, if you could find an open Starbucks, guess what? You get to shit in a toilet today. You get to be inside where it's warm for freezies until somebody kicks you out. Then you got to go find another store. And these are the dregs of society. These are the people who are really out in the cold. Literally. And most people, we're talking about like, you hear the statistic, like, most Americans can't handle like a $500 emergency. Like, that sucks. And we need to have a safety net for people who need to handle that $500 emergency.
We do. We definitely do.
Right.
Go ahead.
But you...
No, I'm just that sounds a lot like Medicare for All.
We're not talking about Medicare
like
for All. We're just talking
social
about
social safety net. That's exactly what that sounds like.
Right, but we're talking about wages. We're talking about minimum wage right now. I mean, Medicare for All is a whole different topic. I mean, we can get into that.
Is it though? It's part of it. I mean, I think like what you just alluded to is the social safety net.
And we have a lot of social safety nets in the country already. We have soup kitchens. We have charities who are doing this work. Now, if my plan went into effect, we'd have a lot more of these charities taking care of these people who are hard on their luck
because of these generous corporations.
So.
Right. Well, no, they're not generous. That's the point. You have to incentivize them to be. You have to incentivize everybody. You can't force people to do things.
I would almost.
You have to incentivize them to act the way that you want them to act.
I would almost.
People aren't going to always act for the well-being
of. Take your idea.
Good. Take it. Run with it.
Change it to incentivize corporations to raise wages commensurate with how much they're making, and give them a tax cut. Like, say you're paying 15%. You've got to pay 15%, right? But for every X that you raise wages in proportion to your earnings, we're going to cut a percent off that.
I like that idea, except it's only benefiting the people who work for those corporations.
I know. So that's like a...
Maybe it could be a twofold system where we incentivize their tax breaks.
But you want to keep it as simple as possible, because the more complicated the system
the
you make, the more
loopholes
people
abuse.
Find. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But
I don't, I'm not opposed to it necessarily.
Under my...
These are both good ideas.
Under the Marchese Manzella tax plan. So under the M&M
tax plan.
So then, since we are in free market, now wouldn't, and again, I'm not, honestly, my economy is my weakest point when it comes to political shit, so I could be talking up my ass. So if we are then incentivizing these corporations to raise wages, making those jobs more desirable, making more people want to go there, doesn't that then incentivize, regardless, because the wages will be higher there, other jobs to increase their wages as well?
Absolutely.
So even though it would the tax break would just benefit the corporations, the idea, if the free market does work, would be that it raises everything because
it's going to raise all wages in general. Yeah, oh,
and
absolutely.
Then you don't do. Then you don't even. I mean, ideally, I still think we should raise the minimum wage. But like in a perfect world, if that worked, perfect market value, like right, we wouldn't even have to.
You don't have to. Yeah. But then the government's going to have to give up some tax revenue. They hate doing that shit because
they're already giving up a shit ton of it.
Yeah, that's true.
They've given up. I mean,
well, the first thing you have to do is you have to make corporations pay their goddamn taxes.
The companies, they're not getting that tax money because the companies don't
pay. Which, again, is one of those things that I feel like everybody agrees on.
I think so too.
Can we get corporations to pay taxes for Christ's sake?
Charlie Kirk, by the way, and that was a great video. Toilet Paper USA. I mean, Turning Point USA. The head, Charlie Kirk, was on. I think it was Politicon. That was the convention.
Was it the one where he argued with Tucker Carlson?
No, it was where he was on there with Kyle Kulinski.
Okay.
And he goes, "So don't we all agree that companies should pay taxes?" And Charlie Kirk goes, "No, they shouldn't pay taxes at all."
At all?
What? And everybody in the audience went, "Boo!"
we're talking He's about. He's Charlie, one of those people Charlie who Kirk's thinks corporations are people.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're not. They shouldn't be. They're collections of people, which I get. You want to give them some of the rights that you would give just a person because it's a collection of persons.
How about unions?
Unions?
That's what I mean, though. Like, we don't, like, instead of fucking treating them as people, let's just unionize the workers. Let's.
Again, I'm hard pressed to come out against unions. Yeah. It's, I mean, if you want to have corporations who are essentially a large group of people negotiating wages, then I have no problem with having a large collection of workers being, you know, a union negotiating on the other side. That's
part of the issue why getting those wage increases at these companies is so hard, because like this shit tier that's like derogatory, but whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Like,
Did you say shitholes?
The shit tier jobs that these companies are forcing people to work. Like, they can unionize, but like it's so disincentivized. And I get it, because companies don't want unions, because if you unionize, you're gonna have to pay higher wages because you're bargaining as a collective.
This is the name of the game. That's why you should form a union if you were a collective. 100%.
There should be, and governments have made it illegal. We've made it illegal to tell people they can't unionize, but like these companies,
they do everything else.
Such dirty
shit
to get people to not unionize.
Having sat through quote not anti-union videos.
Oh, you sat through one of those?
Oh yeah, many corporations I've worked at. Yeah,
really.
And they're not telling you can't join a union, but they're telling you every reason why they're pretty sure unions are bad.
Interesting. I've never experienced one of those.
Oh, yeah. I saw the Amazon one a few days ago, and it's like
they're gross.
Gross, and it's basically asking, it's like, well, if you see anybody kind of, you know, hanging around and talking about,
you might want to let us know,
maybe sort of like work issues that they're having or like, you know, being a team, you should let us know. You should tell management.
Yeah. And then they're fired.
They engender this like snitch culture among the low-level employees.
That's what the communists did.
What?
Like, if you hear anyone saying anything against the state, you let us know.
That's what these companies do, dude. It's fucked. Like, we would never get the... I mean, I disagree with a little bit of our last contract, but we would have never gotten the gains that we got in our last teacher's contract without the union.
Unfortunately, being part of a union, you've got to kind of go with...
You got to go a little bit.
Right.
You've got
to give a little to get a little.
But
nothing comes without sacrifice.
There's no way that I, as an individual teacher, as phenomenal as I am, could negotiate...
Well, economics isn't your strong suit, Jay, so I don't know. Maybe it's better the union handle that.
I couldn't negotiate as an individual.
You want more money. You ask them for more.
I think I should get more money. Just I want $2 million.
Don't ask for less. That's the secret.
But I would never have gotten like a pay raise. Like
they would have laughed at you.
They've been like, you want more money? Hey, someone just graduated from Centenary who's gonna work for $50,000. Mm-hmm. So fuck you.
That's where the unions come in to protect you.
Yeah, and that's where the unions are.
And that's hard too, because now what about that guy from Centenary?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Now you have an overabundance of employment, and you have less jobs for them.
Yeah. My solution would be more schools, but that's just...
Well, someone's got to pay for these schools, Jay.
I know.
Frankly, I think we've got enough.
We feel like we've got these corporations.
You should see how much money I'm spending on schools. How many fucking things do we need? I can't throw a rock without hitting a school. I drive down the street. There's 10 schools on the block. Jesus Christ.
We're lousy with schools.
So, speaking of which, 101 Dalmatians.
Yeah, I guess this is going to be probably a two.
Is something we're going to talk about next week on next week's episode of NAFTcast. Because we just got
a bit sidetracked.
Off.
This is the Dave, Jay, and Brandon Solve the World Problems. Yeah.
We may need
we
to
got
start
it, guys.
A,
we got
a like... second podcast where we talk about saving the world, and one of you guys gets to edit it.
I was going to say we may need to like actually get involved in politics as a group.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah. I'm good.
Maybe make some change.
Nah, I'd rather be on the back end. So I'll work. I'll do like the shady stuff.
You'll be our shady accountant.
Yeah. You need...
no, we don't want shady.
Wait. Oh shit! No. Edit that part
gotcha.
Out. Edit it out.
You're just as corrupt as the rest of them.
God damn it!
And with that, we'll see you next week. We're gonna do 101 Dalmatians. You're gonna fucking love it. I'm Dave.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Jay.
Nobody asked for this.
Really.